Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of the Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today joining us, Mr. Paul Guffey, who is the president of the Kentucky Public Retirees, along with Shirley Clark, who is the vice president of that very same organization. We'll be talking a little bit about the public employees retirement system and maybe some of the problems involved with funding that system. And thanks to both of you for joining me today on the Front Page.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, Paula, if you would detail the problems right now with the system. I know that there's been talk for years about how the retirement systems here in Kentucky are not being funded properly by the legislature.
This has been going on now for several years. I can recall that the first indication that there would be problems in the future was all the way back to the Wilkinson administration, whenever they decided that they wanted to use some of the money, and there was actually a lawsuit. It ended up saying that they could not use that money for purposes other than for the pensions for which it was intended. But since that time, there have been underfunding year after year after year after year. And so at one point, a little over a decade ago, the Kentucky Employee Retirement System, which is the one, the particular one that I'm a retired member of, was funded at the level of like 97%. And, of course, that was back when the economy was going along fairly well in 2003. And then after that point, the General Assembly, and sometimes even before that, the General Assembly decided and the governor, you know, together decided that they would not fully fund the system, as was required by the Kentucky retirement systems.
How can they do that, though? Isn't it state law that they have to fund this thing? It's an agreement. They have a contract with their employees to do this.
They have a contract to inviolable contract, that they are to pay us our pensions. But every biennium, the General Assembly and the governor decide how much funding they're going to put into the system in order to keep it afloat. And basically, if private people were doing this, it would be considered as much greater problem, I suppose, or there'd be much of more of an uproar about it. But with me today is my colleague in the association or organization, who knows in depth about a lot of these things. And if you want to comment at this time, Shirley.
Hope she will, because I know that she had mentioned before we got on the show she worked in Frankfort for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet and is now the legislative liaison for your organization and deals with some of these lawmakers and had a chance to have some conversations. Shirley, tell me what you're hearing.
Well, all through the years, and it goes back, like he says, it goes back to the Wilkinson administration. That's the first time the funding was withheld. Over $23 million was withheld from the retirement system. Retirement system sued him and won, but the judge ruled that he did not find any proof it had harmed our system, so they never had to pay it back. And then every governor and legislature after that, and I think it's around 15 out of the last 21 years, they have not funded the system. Now, when you talk to them, they have all kinds of reasons, and they tell you that it's not, they don't believe, the actuary says it's over, under, they need more than what they really need. Well, through the years, and you know, in 2008, they passed a bill that was going to solve all of our problems. And by that, what they did then is, like, let's say the actuary said we needed 42% to fund the KERS system. In the past, maybe they funded 25% of what his recommended or required contribution should be. They set a percentage that they would not fund the 42%, but they would fund a bigger percentage than what they had been funding. And that only lasted about 3 years, and they found out that did not solve all of our problems. You know, instead of KERS, right now is 23.2% funded.
How does it operate then?
By they're cashing in. Mm-hmm. They have to cash in every month investments to meet their payroll.
Well, this does not sound like a sustainable way of doing business for a long period of time. At some point, this sounds like you're headed for a crash. Am I right?
Exactly.
And how long before that crash, perhaps?
Now, if they, like this session, they funded 100% of what the actuary said they needed. If they continue doing that every 2 years, the problem will be solved. Mm-hmm. But you never know whether they're going to continue doing it. This year, the bill they passed in 2013, Senate Bill 2, says you shall pay it. But there are bills that say state employees shall get a 5% raise. It says retirees shall get a COLA. But,
which is a cost of living
adjustment. Yes. They bypassed that with a non state employees, this is the first raise they're going to get in the last 5 or 6 years. We haven't had a raise for 2 years, a COLA. They bypass it. They leave the law saying that, but they bypass it in the budget bill by saying notwithstanding.
So have you gotten an idea? Now, this brings up a point. I want to kind of get into this. We've talked about this in regards to such things as education. A lot of the teachers now in the system are quote-unquote baby boomers. They're getting closer to retirement. Many of them have just retired here in recent years, and we're looking at potentially a teacher shortage as all these baby boomer teachers retire and they're not replaced. Well, all these baby boomer teachers are also, along with the baby boomer state employees, are all on the state systems in terms of pensions, and there's going to be a boatload of them going into the systems here in the next 5 years or whatever, 10 years or however. And at some point, it sounds like we could almost have more people needing the benefits than what would be actually paying in for these benefits. Would I be correct in saying that?
I don't know the exact numbers, but down through the years, there have been ways to enhance the pensions for public employees without the General Assembly and the governor funding these enhancements. For example, they gave a window where that you could buy up some more time, and that wasn't funded. The General Assembly might decide, well, we'll give you a COLA, but we're not going to fund it. They may say that we'll change it from their high 5 years, we'll change it to the high 3 years, and then not fund it.
The factor,
you know, for how much your pension would be. And not fund it. And so those things have all added. Now they're coming home to roost, those problems. And then with more people, with some of these things, made it possible for some of the boomers to retire even earlier. And so, yes, that does increase the number.
And they're retiring at about 20 years or so.
Yes. Well,
and some of them probably in their early, mid-40s or whatever.
Well, oh, yeah.
Prime working years.
Now, those in hazardous duty will retire early. But with 20 years, say, for example, or 25. But most of the retirees now, the others are more the 27, and some go more than that. And there have been some changes to add some restrictions into the, like, raise the retirement age and things of that nature. So the General Assembly and the Governor are starting to address some of those things that have caused some of the problems.
Well, they've done that, I know, in terms of KTRS, which I'm a member of, in the fact that it used to be 27 years that you could retire in, and now they've moved that up to 30 in order to get more money into the system. Do you look for them to be, or have they already done this with KTRS?
Senate Bill 2 did that in 2013. It raised from 27 and out was what most retirees could go. When they could go, they changed it. Now it's based on a rule of 87. You have to have 30 years service and old enough to it will total 87. So that's for the better that they've done that. You know, you were talking about these young people, 27 years to retire. They could retire with 22 years
if they bought out those 5 years.
If they bought out those 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that's why you've got 42, 43, and 44-year-old people When I retired, I had to have 30 years. And if I went back to work, which I did one time, I had to give up my retirement. See, that's another thing they passed. They took that away, and they allowed employees to retire, and within 6 months or less, they could go back to work and start another retirement.
Is that still the case?
No, not now. 2013 changed that. They can still go back to work, but they will not start another retirement.
So they can collect the retirement they have, and they can go back to work, but they will not start a new retirement system.
Collect a salary, but they will not pay into the retirement system and not get a second retirement.
But they could get Social Security, I guess,
yes,
at some
yes.
point when they become eligible, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So in your mind, it's good that the legislature this year, for the next 2 years, they'll be funding the retirement systems as they should. But as you said, there's so much uncertainty. How do you get through that? How do you overcome that to make sure that you don't have to deal with this type of uncertainty every 2 years, or is just this something that will have to be dealt with?
We've asked that there be dedicated funding or streams of funding revenue to fund the retirement systems.
Every year.
Every year, you know. And there have been some attempts to get that accomplished, but that doesn't go anywhere in the legislative process, it seems. Some say, oh, that could impede our ability to collect federal dollars, which I don't understand. But anyway, that has not been successful at all.
There was three or four bills introduced this year that would have dedicated funding to the retirement system. None of them ever got out of committee.
Why is that, do you think?
Politics. That's what I think. Sorry.
Do you think the bills were offered up from a political standpoint, that we tried to do the right thing, but and they knew in advance maybe
that could
this
have been
wouldn't
part
pass?
Of it, yes. But I do think there was one bill, as an example, from a representative down in Western Kentucky that would dedicate all sales tax from out-of-state purchases to be used for funding the retirement system. That was a good bill.
Would it have worked if it passed?
Well, it would only work if they started collecting the sales tax for out-of-state purchases,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which a lot of them don't do now, but I understand there's a move on to, I don't know if it's a bill passed or what, but they're going to start doing that. In fact, I noticed not long ago I bought something on the Internet, and I got charged Kentucky sales tax on it, which normally that doesn't happen.
This is, I guess, a situation where the retirement systems now are sort of at, as you mentioned, Paul, the mercy of the economy, whether or not they'll be funded or underfunded or whatever. And I just wonder if, as you mentioned, if there's a way to overcome that, to set up a dedicated stream of something. But the first time you can see the state getting into trouble from a budgetary standpoint, they could dip into this thing again and say, well, we need the money for other purposes.
That's what's been happening. They sometimes use it to balance the budget, but sometimes for projects, you know, they decide they put extra money, wherever it went. You know, maybe it wasn't identified directly for the project, but wherever the money went, decided to use it for other things rather than go ahead and fund the pension program or system as they're supposed to, which is it's the actuarially required contribution is calculated and presented to them every 2 years. And that's based on a figure that would make the system sound stable if that is contributed all the time. And so that's what they did this time. But in 2 years from now, we know we're going to have to be
you're going to be back in Frankfort for the legislative session.
Right. Correct.
When you talk to lawmakers, Shirley and Paul, I'll ask you this question. Do they just kind of pat you on the shoulder and say, oh, don't worry, we'll take care of you?
A lot of them. A lot of them are honest. I'm not saying all of them are alike, because we deal with a lot of them. And they do try. But, yes, a lot of them say it's going to be okay. We're going to take care of you. I mean, we were told in 2013 when – was it 2013 they took our COLA away from us? or mm-hmm. no, 2012, because we haven't had it for 2 years.
Right.
We were told you will get a COLA in 2000, the fiscal year 2014-15, or 2015-16. Well, we didn't. We were even at the last day of the session, we were told, we had legislators tell us that if they voted for Senate Bill 2, which we worked against, that they would promise them, they were promised that retirees would get their cost of living raise in the next session. These kind of things. So, no, you can't believe a lot of what they tell you.
How do you sort through what's real and what's not?
I've gotten to the point, I've been around long enough to know that, you know, you just, I mean, you can't tell them. You need their support if you can get it, but then they turn around and do the opposite. I mean, I'll give you a good example. We were told until the day before Senate 2 passed by the leadership, it will not pass. We're not going to vote for it. And I was there on the last night on the floor when they brought it forth about an hour before they voted on it, and it passed. So,
how long did it take you to get your jaw off the floor?
Pardon?
How long did it take you to get your jaw off the floor when it hit after that vote?
Get my job?
Your jaw.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew it was going to happen. We knew before they voted it was going to pass.
Yeah. Again, we're on the front page today. We're talking with Paul Guffey and Shirley Clark from Kentucky Public Retirees about problems with the Kentucky retirement systems, and we'll do some more of that right after this on Front Page.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in a parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Again, I'm Chuck Moraz on Front Page, talking with Paul Guffey and Shirley Clark from the Kentucky Public Retirees. Paul is the president of that organization, and Shirley is the vice president and liaison with the legislature and also the retirement systems themselves. And I guess, what do you do? I mean, we talked about all the problems, and I know that you're making efforts to lobby on behalf of the retirees and try to get the legislature to do the right thing, which they did this year, but you're not confident that will happen in 2 years. What do you do? How do you get people motivated to get behind this effort? Because, as you know, you don't see a lot about it in the newspaper, and most people don't seem to be paying attention.
That's the big question, is how much of a crisis does something like this have to become before it becomes before the public becomes aware of it enough, as well as, and especially, the retirees, that we have the motivation to properly organize. We are organizing better. We are still continuing to recruit members, and we are growing. We have more organizations than our own that are interested. And, of course, the teachers are interested in theirs as well, and they're doing the same. But there's a need for more and more attention to this problem. This time it's very well known to be a problem, and the General Assembly and the governor did go ahead and fund it as required. But in 2 years from now, if there's not any talk about it, we'll be back there with the uphill battle to get this fully funded again.
And we're not talking just about the KERS, the Kentucky Employee Retirement System. We're talking about the City County Public Retirees
Yes.
Program. We're talking about the State Police Program. And if I know you don't represent KTRS, but that program also is said to be badly underfunded too as well. So there are a lot of people who have a stake in this party, don't they?
Yes, they sure do. You know, KERS is just the worst funded of all of them. We're now at 23.2% funded. The county is probably the best funded of all of them, and that's only about 60. Mm-hmm. State police is about 47, and I think I just read recently teachers is only 51% funded. So there has got to be dedicated funding passed. And they've got to do something about that. We've got to build our membership up. It's so frustrating to Paul and me both when we recruit members and they say, oh, you all are doing a good job. You don't need me. You know, we need people to join our organization.
Do you band together with the teachers, too? I mean, to get a larger group and a louder voice?
We have done some of that. We have been with the Kentucky
Public Pension Coalition this year, which included the teachers' organization, KEA, and all the state employee organizations. They were on it and worked with us, unions. So we did this last year. It was last year we started it, worked with them, and we all band together to work together. But, I mean, we represented over 370,000.
Yeah, and that should be a powerful voice. I was going to ask you about the thousands of people, and if you had a number of people who are into these systems, whether already retired or looking at someday retiring, you would think that if you could get everybody on the same page, that's a pretty powerful voting block. And at that point, when you're a powerful voting block, politicians start to listen.
But they didn't.
Right.
I mean, we were band together against Senate Bill 2, and they didn't listen. I mean, they listened to us. We met with them. We met with the leadership of the House. We never were invited to meet with anybody in the Senate. And the Senate's the one that pushed Senate Bill 2. But they still passed it, even with 370,000.
Are they assuming that 370,000 is a passive group and is not paying close attention?
I don't see how they could have, especially in 2013, because we were constantly over there.
Now, the teachers had been active somewhat before, and especially regarding their insurance, maybe a couple of years prior, and they had I think they had kind of gotten the ear of the General Assembly and the governor, and so they've made some progress. But, you know, just in the Kentucky Retirement Systems, which has CERS, the county and city, and the state police and us, counting the people that are working and stuff like that, it represents vested people, 345,000 people. Counting those who are vested, they already got their money in the retirement system. They've got enough time that they could draw. There's a lot. This represents lots of people. And it does come down to organizing, obviously.
So that's
effectively
the next step, maybe?
We are working on that, and we are adding some more public relations component to our own organization, and with some success. And so we do expect that come 2 years from now, we're facing, say, another uphill battle. We do expect that we will, number one, be better organized. Number two, we do expect that they will hear us in a different and a more distinctive voice, because this is a serious issue and we are not going away. And they may want us to, but we are not.
We've got about a minute left on the show. So right now you're in the process of creating an awareness among Kentuckians, and especially those people who would be in the public retirement systems.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
We also have to work against the Chamber of Commerce, who is always out there. I mean, they were responsible, or very responsible, for getting Senate Bill 2 passed. Mm-hmm. Most private industries look at state employees and retirees as being on the take. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way. But somebody has to work. And I'll be the first to say there was a lot of state employees that didn't earn their salaries.
Are you working harder now that you're into your organization than when you were actually an employee of the state?
Yes. I've been a member of KPR since 1987, so.
Well, thanks so much for joining me on the program today. We're out of time, but obviously I know a lot of people in the state retirement systems are wishing both of you the best of luck in all of this.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And again, our guests today on the front page, Shirley Clark and Paul Guffey from the Kentucky Public Retirees. I'm Chuck Meraz, host of the show. See you next time.